Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show. I'm one of your hosts, Phil Huff, and I'm in this Tuesday. We have a wonderful show coming up, an exciting topic, the National Deer Association. But first, everyone's favorite topic, the weather. We're going to take a look at what's happening outside. If you haven't poked your head outside, it continues to be a little damp and rainy, but it is warming up. We're going to have spring here, even if it's a wet one. A high of 68 today, a chance of thunder showers this afternoon, 40%. Increasing to 50% overnight with a low in the mid-40s. Tomorrow it warms up, mostly sunny, a high in the low 70s, overnight lows in the 40s, and it continues that way on Thursday with decreasing chances of rain. Friday and Saturday, if it holds, it's looking like it's going to be sunny, clear, and in the 80s. So if you haven't already, time to break out the shorts. And on that note, we're going to turn to our guest in the studio today, Brad French, who's the stewardship forester with the National Deer Association. Welcome to the show, Brad.
Thanks a lot, Phil. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your connection here to North Idaho, and how you came to find Sandpoint as home.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess my first connection to Idaho was in college. I'm a Vandal grad, go Vandals. I've established a lot of connections through my college in forestry at the CNR in Moscow. And I did some work for a few years all over North Idaho for a forestry firm. And after college, my life took me to Alaska and later Montana. For the last 10 years, I've been in Montana as a forester. And I had an opportunity to become a forester with National Deer Association and help out the Forest Service and other entities manage timber and land with wildlife with National Deer Association's main drive, but I get to help do some more management on land here.
Very nice. For those who aren't familiar with the National Deer Association, we can call it the NDA for short, right?
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about the mission, the history of the NDA.
So NDA, it merged with another group in 2020. It used to be called Quality Deer Management. And the National Deer Association's main mission and values are to ensure wildlife habitat for future generations, which involves management of land and caring for land and being stewards. And there's a lot of education, mm-hmm. outreach, and policy and advocacy they're a part of. So the opportunity arose to do some work in Idaho, particularly the Idaho Panhandle National Forest. And we have a stewardship contract here, and I'm helping out doing some of that work up here.
Mm-hmm. So for the uninitiated, let's delve a little bit further into that intersection of public lands, land management, habitat management, and forestry. What kinds of forestry projects are you looking at?
So there's a lot of different aspects of forestry, as I'm sure you're aware of. The work that we're doing currently is pre-commercial thinning. So areas that have been harvested in the past, maybe the 90s or even later, they grow back really thick. So one of the methods that land managers use is thinning the forest out when you have young trees that are overpopulated. I'm talking to the tune of up to 2,000, 3,000 trees per acre, mm-hmm. a tree every 4 feet. So it's very important to manipulate some of those and some of those stands through use of chainsaws, mm-hmm. or other thinning techniques to get the desired trees per acre. And I'm talking 1,200 trees per acre, possibly, depending on the objectives. That helps a forest grow to be healthy, strong, resilient, something that can be used by animals, by people, not burned down, and ultimately meet the goals of the landowner's objectives.
Mm-hmm. And in turn, that's helpful to the deer.
Of course, not just deer, but lots of animals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
How is this similar or not similar to work that other wildlife conservation organizations do? I'm thinking, you know, out loud, the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, the Wild Turkey Foundation, the Trout Unlimited, who are doing projects to help maintain or restore habitat. How is this NDA similar or different from those?
So helping out different land managers or entities with a specific goal in mind is definitely something that a lot of other organizations are a part of. Trout Unlimited might, for example, do stream restoration work. Obviously, I'm not working in streams out here, So this definitely benefits.
Well, you aren't today, but maybe tomorrow with the weather forecast.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to keep on raining here, but going back to your question, Rocky Mountain Elk, they've contributed a lot of funds for forest management. They're actively pursuing supporting projects similar to what I'm doing and other aspects as well. Wild Turkey Federation has foresters they hire as well. There's some in Montana and all over the U.S. actually, and they're out there helping landowners manage their lands, particularly with the NRCS mm-hmm. in the West here. So yeah, this aligns with a lot of the work that's happening all over the U.S. Mm-hmm. NDA is a pretty big entity in the eastern United States. We have quite a few members that go through a lot of our stewardship classes. We put on classes that landowners can take to learn about how to manage for wildlife or specific goals, which includes forestry. It's not just about a field, for example, for deer. So this is our first position that we have out in the West, and we hope that we can continue to help out and grow our program.
Mm-hmm. And so this is the first one, not just in Idaho, but out West?
That's right.
So NDA is growing. How old is NDA again?
I don't know the exact date, but I think it's been over 20 years.
Okay, 20 years.
They've been working.
So slowly migrating out west, much like the white-tailed deer.
That's right.
Is it a membership-based organization? Are there members and chapters, or is it primary?
Yes. Yeah, we have members, chapters, and chapter chairs, and a lot of fundraising events, and just kind of the typical things you would see with a nonprofit.
So with you as the person at the beachhead here in North Idaho, is there the start of a local chapter then that folks can...
We don't have a local chapter, no.
Well, we got to get on that.
That's right.
More beer drinking.
Yeah. Yep. Meeting with folks and kind of clinking cups is a good way to start some of those conversations. Yeah.
So we've talked a little bit about the forestry. We're going to come back to some specific projects in a bit. But there's more to it. There are educational programs. Tell us a little bit about those.
So are you speaking in particular to NDA's educational programs?
Yes.
They do a lot of different events and depending on which chapters they have. And they really like to get new hunters out there, new folks experiencing what it's like to be in the outdoors and to harvest an animal and to go through that whole practice. And we also do, like I mentioned, a stewardship class for landowners that want to take their land to the next level and write a management plan, particularly with wildlife in mind. Mm-hmm. I recommend that every landowner has a management plan, different fundraisers and different efforts that they have to promote that type of education.
Mm-hmm. And so with public lands management, you've mentioned the forest thinning projects, and then the private land intersect is mostly educational, or are there some of these projects also on private land?
They definitely take part of mm-hmm. with work on private land, that's for sure. Yeah. But NDA doesn't usually go out and do it. They like to put the tools in mm-hmm. the landowner's hands. So they're the one writing the plan. They're the one manipulating their vegetation on their property for mm-hmm. for their specific goal.
So you're working closely then with some of the state. I know Idaho Department of Lands has their private lands foresters. You must work somewhat closely with IDL at times.
We don't currently do that in Idaho, but it's good to build those relationships and know what's happening as well.
Yeah, we have a lot of private landowners out here.
Yeah.
And a lot of fields. I'm thinking of all the vast swaths of Bureau of Land Management land through the West that may not be timbered but have sagebrush land that could benefit from some restoration. Is there work along those lines for NDA?
Not currently in sagebrush. We're kind of focused right now with some national forest lands. There's other foundations and groups that do work mm-hmm. that do work in sagebrush mm-hmm. environments. The one thing I do want to say about land management and wildlife and different goals is, things move. And fire moves, and insects and disease. So your, even though you might own a chunk of ground or you might be focused on one chunk of ground, a larger landscape is something that really affects what you have. And you can't always tell your neighbor what to do, but education that everybody can take a part of can really help make a difference for an overall greater good.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're seeing the Forest Service as an agency work more closely with private landowners and other agencies through things like the Good Neighbor Authority.
Exactly.
Which are envisioning larger scale projects. Because as you said, the particular need or benefit doesn't stop at an artificial boundary line, but you know, looking at the adjacent parcels of land is really important in some cases.
Yeah, fences don't really matter to a lot of animals and environmental effects.
Right. In fact, one would argue fewer of them might be better.
That's right.
So I got to ask, the Deer Association doesn't distinguish then between the whitetail and the mule deer out here in terms of providing benefit for the landscape.
We don't have a big flag with a whitetail deer on it that we're flying around Idaho. No. Again, our mission is to ensure quality habitat for wildlife, which does include deer.
So let's talk a little bit about some topics related to the project you're working on. You know, one of the things we want to talk about today were some general principles about how silviculture works really at its best in our area in the West.
Yeah, so silviculture is a big fancy term for managing a forest for a specific goal. And that's definitely some of the things that I'm working with right now. And one of the interesting projects that we have a possibility to help out on and that we're going to be doing a volunteer effort on is some aspen restoration. So aspen is a tree that grows pretty quickly. They usually live to about 60 or 70 years. They grow in huge groves. We call them clones. They're all related, actually. It's one of the largest organisms in the world, aspen groves. And they're really beneficial to multiple types of wildlife, cavity nesting birds, large ungulates that feed on the small aspen. Bears climb up them. They provide habitat for grouse and a variety of wildlife. And so aspen are a very important species in the West and probably the entire United States for wildlife. Aspen has been in the decline for some various factors in certain forests in the West, and there's been kind of a spotlight on the ability to manage them for bettering the habitat. And it's not just something you can go out and plant an aspen in a forest and hope that you have a grove in 20 years. They require a lot of sunlight, full sunlight, and they need a disturbance of some sort to promote their growth, whether it's cutting trees around them to get more sunlight on the ground, or a fire might come through and open that up. The key is really giving them, you know, water, sunlight, and good soil to grow in. And they capitalize on that, and they'll send out their roots and shoot up new ones. So there's a project up here that is already cleared with NEPA. That it's an ongoing forest restoration area north of Bonner's Ferry. And we have an ability to set up a volunteer event. So the Working for a Wildlife Tour is something that Meat Eater TV has set up, and they're kind of doing a tour all over the United States. I think they have 7 or 8 of them this year, and they came to the NDA as a partner to say, hey, if there's an opportunity to do something in Idaho, we'd really like to make an impact up there. And we're hoping to tackle maybe 20 or 30 acres of aspen stands north of Bonner's Ferry, and we're going to go in there and clip out some of the conifers, so Christmas trees style trees that are eventually going to end up shading out those trees in a matter of 20, 30, 40 years. So if we can treat them while they're small, I'm talking 3 and 4 inches, that those aspen stands can really benefit in the future and not have something impeding their growth. So that's a pretty unique opportunity that we have the ability to reach out and get some volunteers, and we're hoping that we can make that a good day.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more about what volunteers would do on that day, or days, plural. Is it more than one day, or is it just the one day?
Just one day, yeah. It's going to be a Saturday, July 29th.
Okay.
And so we'll have tools provided, hand tools, loppers, little saws, like bow saws. Again, these are pretty small trees we're looking at removing from these stands. So yeah, we'll have a group that meets in Bonner's Ferry in the morning, and we'll go out and work for maybe four or five hours, and I'll have pie plates up and kind of some fun little directions out there, and we'll have a little get together in Bonner's Ferry afterwards. So yeah, it's just kind of a fun learning day about the silviculture behind managing aspen stands, what it benefits, and kind of a light amount of work for some volunteers. This isn't going to be a huge amount of trees.
It's not something you need specialized training. These aren't volunteers that are yielding a sea of chainsaws. They're coming with hand tools that can be learned that day.
That's right. Yeah, these stands are in pretty good shape, and we're just kind of doing the final touches to help ensure that they can be there for future generations.
So now I'm sure there's somebody out there listening going, so how do I actually sign up for this? Tell us more.
Yeah, you can log into our National Deer Association.com website, and there's a registration link on there. I'm not sure if you have the ability to post a link with our podcast here. You can also just type in Google "Working for Wildlife Tour" and you'll see a sign up for that.
Yeah, I want to come back and talk more about the tour, but this sounds like a really interesting project. How, after the clearing on the 29th, then what happens?
Well, like I said, we'll probably do about 20 acres there, yeah. And those acres will definitely benefit this year from the work, and those stands will grow. We hope to do one next year as well. We might get some other entities involved.
Mm-hmm. So there's already aspen on the ground growing. This just will help them
release. These are stands that are already established. Yeah. You know, some of them are mature. A lot of them are in the younger stages. Mm-hmm. So, they're going to keep growing out there. Aspen are incredible trees. They can grow up to 6 feet per year. People plant them in their yards, and in a couple of years, they have them all over the place.
Yeah, as long as they have sunlight and water.
That's right.
And we have an abundance of water. Not so much sun sometimes, but even that filtered sun through the clouds is important, as long as they're not shaded by other trees.
Yeah, they're one of my favorite trees. Yeah. I sure like them in the fall, too, when they change those colors.
So how did this particular plot, this particular area, come on your radar? How do projects in general come on your radar? Do you consult with the Forest Service and suggest places, or do they come to you?
Yeah, before I became a forester, I was kind of wondered who picks projects and why things happen. So this is part of a larger analysis. So the Forest Service and pretty much every land entity that's public, they go through a very strict process of vetting projects, making sure that they benefit multiple uses. And this is part of a larger environmental analysis, an EA. And so this area had a chance for the public and even Fish and Game got to weigh in on some of the things that they would like to see happen out there for different benefits, including timber harvest. Mm-hmm. There was some timber harvest that happened with this EA and is currently happening. And this is one of the aspects that was written into that project to do some enhancement on aspen stands in particular. Mm-hmm.
And without this project, what would happen?
Well, forests are resilient. Phil, forests grow. I'm sure you know that.
Yes. Yeah.
So the stands would likely still be there. But I mentioned with aspen needing sunlight and conifers being present, they would probably shrink.
The conifers would outmuscle them.
Yeah. I mean, this happens not overnight. Yeah. It's 20, 30 years worth, but it is kind of a race for some of the sunlight out there, and that's part of why aspen stands in the West are showing trends of being in decline.
Yeah, without natural disturbance regimes, without fire, without other things, we find grand firs just grow like weeds out here. I'm sure you've noticed that.
Yeah, I'm kind of a nerd for trees. So grand fir is a shade tolerant species. Yeah. So is cedar, western red cedar. So they can really grow and thrive in environments that have sometimes complete full shade. And they like that wet, shady forest. And I don't really want to get too in the weeds here, but wildfire is something that we think of every fall and every summer that is a pending danger in our forests, especially if you have a home near them. So, the presence of these ladder fuels, of these shade-tolerant trees, can really affect a forest. Mm-hmm. If fire is something that you're worried about, you might want to think about managing that. Yeah. There's some really good learning opportunities that the state of Idaho can put on. folks can come out, and some of the foresters with IDL, private lands foresters in specific, they can come out and give you free advice and help you meet some of your management goals. There's a lot of funding available as well to help make these projects come to fruition.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to take a short music break on that note, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the world. What's the name of the tour?
Working for Wildlife.
The Working for Wildlife Tour. We're going to come back and talk more about that in the Meat Eaters Association. But for right now, by request by Brad, we're going to have the ballad of Davy Crockett. Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier by Burl Ives. Now, that's a blast from the past.
I think Disney featured quite a bit of that music in some of their stuff, too.
Yeah, that sounds right. I can picture in my mind something from the late 60s, the Disney Sunday Night Special and Burl.
That's right.
So we're back with Brad French from the National Deer Association. This is the Tuesday Morning Show on KRFY 88.5 FM. I'm your host, Phil Huff, and we've been talking about various projects that Brad's been undertaking as the stewardship manager, and we left off with improving aspen stands, and one of the things that we want to touch on a little bit more about is the role fire plays somewhat naturally in the landscape and how that's been altered over the years, and so where it's left us with. So let's do a little bit on general fire ecology and the role that it plays in all of this.
Yeah, so, you know, forestry encompasses all aspects of working in forests, and fire can really change a forest quickly. We've seen some of these huge fires happen over the years, and the way that they leave a forest can leave impacts for hundreds of years. Fire isn't bad, though. Fire is something that happened on the landscape all the time. Native Americans were known as firewalkers. They would bring it and clear the vegetation so they could get to the road to the buffalo, to go to Montana. You know, lightning happens. We can't put a cap on lightning, and our firefighters do a really good job of putting out over 90% of our fires in the West every year. And you know, it's a point that a lot of firefighters are proud about. And naturally, as humans, we want to reduce our fears. So putting out fires is something that's kind of driven into our culture. A lot of that happened in the early 1900s. 1910 fire was a big one that changed the landscape in Idaho. You know, Wallace was the town of Wallace was evacuated. There was some really, really big impacts to how that changed our environment. So we really put out a lot of firefighting efforts in the early 1900s to say, hey, we're going to stop these fires. Well, the forest kept growing. These you know, trees and everything just keeps happening. And the forests get thick, and when you put out fires, you actually can put off that important role that fires might play in nature. So the mosaic patterns get lost. You don't have openings and breaks in the forest when this happens. We lose our ability to have maintenance burns or underburns when we keep those fire regimes out of the forest. So a lot of the West hasn't seen fire in places that it might have more regularly before humans started intervening and putting out all these fires. And so without having fire in the forest, your forest dynamic changes a little bit. Your species composition will shift. We talked about grand fir earlier in our talk. Some of these forests become either too thick, or they have species that don't really do well when they're introduced to fire. Something I like to talk about is if you weed your garden regularly, you can walk through it and you have the things that you want in there. But if you wait a couple of years and you come back, what's it going to look like? It's probably not going to be something you want. Not all of our forests need to have management. We have some great opportunities, particularly in the West, with public land and vast amounts of areas that we pretty much just let be how they are. But in certain forests with different management objectives, fire can really change a forest to where it has negative effects. So it's kind of a big problem that land managers have is what do we do with a forest that is hard to access or that we have specific goals? And in the right situations, you know, making decisions that can alter a forest to better it with fire in mind is the way to go.
We've suppressed fire for so long. We've thrown the forests out of whack. But now the forest being out of whack, it's hard to reintroduce natural fire without unintended consequences. So it's this balancing act, and active management can only go so far to replacing fire. But I know one of the goals of the Forest Service these days is with restoration forestry to allow for the reintroduction of fire in some places. But that requires some preparation work, and that sounds like that's where NDA comes in.
We're not here just for fire. Fire is something that all managers have to deal with, not just the Forest Service. So we're here mainly to help out and provide assistance to get more general work done that benefits a greater good. To touch more on some of the species, you know, my favorite tree species is a ponderosa pine. Those things have such thick bark. They can live for hundreds of years. They benefit lots of wildlife, and I think of them as like a wise old tree. You know, Western larch is another old one too. And both of those trees in particular, they do really well with fire when they're older, when they're mature trees. They have that thick bark. It insulates them. They don't die when they get burned. They might get singed a little bit. Some of these trees, if you're out there hiking, you can see old scars. You can get 8 or 9 fire scars on some of these trees. That's what I meant by fire regime. It's a reoccurrence of fire. And it's really cool how these some of these larger trees can fend it off. And you know, the forest underneath them does get cleansed and it burns, and you have that mosaic pattern, and they end up as champions, and it's really neat. Yeah. So,
to the extent we can return the forest to its natural state is reasonably possible, it benefits both the deer as well as the whole landscape.
That's right. Yeah. So it's really neat to see some of that happen out there and be a part of it.
Yes. And now you brought up a couple of things we want to hear more about. Our listeners, I'm sure, will want to hear more about this Working for Wildlife tour. What's that all about beyond the one particular event here?
So some of the other ones that they have going on are kind of specific to each region or each place. There's some acorn gathering that they were doing in the eastern United States for oak. Oak in the eastern U.S. is in decline in certain areas, and so they're going and picking up acorns and almost like an Easter egg hunt. That's one of them they're doing. Michigan has a couple interesting ones, doing some forest cleanup in some public areas, and so it's not just an aspen event. And, you know, there's a lot of different other things happening. This is one that was ready to go, that they had a need for, and that we could bring some folks to the table.
Mm-hmm. So this is only one part of a continuum of events.
We hope to have a reoccurring tour. It might not be Aspen next year. Mm-hmm. This might be the kickoff for this type of work to happen with volunteers and the Forest Service in that area. Mm-hmm. You know, Meat Eater is a group in Montana that supports hunting and being in the outdoors, and they've had a pretty successful following over the last 5 or 6 years, and they're a big part of this. And so
I'm not familiar with them. So when did they start? How long have they been around?
I don't know when Meat Eater started, but okay. It's a group that wanted to kind of have an impact with getting folks to be a part of helping public lands. And I think today is actually Public Lands Giving Day. Different groups are supporting giving to a public land entity.
Yeah, I think there's all kinds of giving days, and Idaho Gives was last Thursday, but I think this week there's Montana spreads them around by cities and counties, and so I think there's a specific one today in Montana.
Yeah, I think Utara Brewing is doing something tonight.
Yeah, nice, very nice. So Meat Eaters and the Working for Wildlife Tour and the NDA all work together. Are there other partnerships or collaborations that NDA has developed over the years, or you look forward to potentially developing, you know, in your new role here?
Yeah, we're open to working with partnerships, and we don't really have a whole lot here in Idaho that we're partnered up with, particularly in the volunteering sector. But we'll definitely be doing this next year, and might like I said, it might be a different event or focused on a different subject, but we'll make sure that we let our listeners know.
Sure. So, you know, as we start to wind down, a couple closing thoughts. Anything you'd like to come back to that you didn't feel like we fully explored?
Well, I think I got to kind of explain a little bit about what I'm doing up here and kind of our mission and some of my, reasons for why I'm wanting to make a difference in this role. So I think we kind of covered it there. If folks want to be a part of this volunteering effort, it's the last Saturday in July, July 29th. You can go to
July or June?
July.
July 29th. Okay.
Yeah, July. I may have said June earlier.
I think you said June earlier, but just make sure we get our calendars right. July 29th.
Let me pull it up on here to make sure I have it. July 29th.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. And that's in Bonner's Ferry, and we're meeting there, and it's about 20-minute drive to the work site. And if you want to sign up, just type in WFW Tour or Idaho, WFW Tour Idaho. And the reason why we have sign-ups on there, we don't want you just showing up, is so we can get a head count, okay, so we can kind of have that with our waivers and everything to go there.
So WFW Tour Idaho.
Yeah. National Deer Association also has a link for it. If you go to
always go to the NDA home, is pretty easy to find on Google.
Yeah. NationalDeerAssociation.com. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Brad. It's been a pleasure. If you've just tuned in, we've been spending this morning talking with Brad French, who is the stewardship manager for the National Deer Association. Some of the projects he's undertaking here in our area, North Idaho, particularly this really interesting one about working with Aspen Stands for a regeneration project north of Bonner's Ferry, coming up at the end of July. More information on that at the National Deer Association. Thank you, Brad.
All right. Thanks, Phil.